a fraction of what took place during that missions trip. God had did just so many different things in our hearts and our lives, and was, you know, I used to, when I was there, you know, I thought about times when I was a child reading about the Amazon jungle. Never, ever did I ever have a thought that I would actually be there in the Amazon jungle preaching the gospel of Christ to a people that have never, ever heard the word of God, some. And it was just absolutely amazing. I mean, that's the amazing God that we serve, you know. And to hear that lyrics in that song as the praises, I mean, the unsaved drowning out the Amazon rains. I mean, you know, and that just so comes that, I mean, that so rings true in my heart today, because God just did amazing things. And the highlight for the trip for me was being able to go to the village of Tambillo, which is in Huánuco, just the other side of the Andes Mountains of the Amazon. And we were asked to come up on a Sunday morning and do a service, if you will. The pictures that you saw of the stage with, there was a bunch of dignitaries of this town, the mayor, there was the priest of the town, and just many very important people were there, along with probably about 1,000 people. And I've never ever got to preach the gospel to that many people in one place in my entire life. And it was just amazing, you know, to see God just use a small group of Americans and open that door. Brother Tebby had been waiting for 10 years, okay? His wife is from that village. His wife grew up in that village. There's been bloodshed through the years, through the communist, through a group called the Shining Light that had come through in the early 90s. And just, I mean, there was so much brutality and different things that was suffered by the people at the hands of communism and just tyranny, you know, over the years. And God had opened the door for us. And again, Tebby had been trying, he said, for 10 years to preach the gospel in this small village. And it's about a 10-kilometer trek up the mountains, and which takes about an hour and a half. Joe, it took us at least about an hour and a half to go 12 kilometers, all right? That's, you know, roughly 6 miles. I mean, so, I mean, the road was rough, and we get up to the top of this place, and I mean, and it's just, it's absolutely gorgeous, number one. But the people that are there, they're there to celebrate three different type of festivals. The first one being their sun worshipers. You know, they're from their Incan descent. And they were sun worshipers, and so this festival was first created to worship the sun god. And then secondly, as the Catholics, the Spaniards, came in and conquered the Incas, well, they mixed this festival and called it a religious festival as well, now in the honor of John the Baptist. And then it was a festival incorporated to celebrate the farmers, because they're a farming culture. They farmed potatoes and various different things. And so it's just this big pagan drunken fest is what it is. And so they have their Catholic mass in the morning, and the priest came and just basically gave this big political speech. There was nothing about Christ in anything that he spoke that morning. It was the people rising up and getting back what rightfully belonged to them, and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, I mean, and there was nothing about God in there, but the Lord had another plan. Amen. Our youth, amen, the youth stepped up and they did the powerful drama, everything, which was just a look into the spiritual realm of what we battle with every single day. And then Gary, Tebby, and myself, we took the stage right after the drama, and God just opened that door for us to preach the gospel. And of course, it being the celebration of John the Baptist, well, guess what I preached? Repentance. You know, and it was about repentance. And I just told him the truth, you know, that drunkards will have their place in the lake of fire, because that's what this was. It was a drunken fest. If you saw the back of where everyone was sitting, there were cases and cases and cases of beer. I would say in the hundreds of cases of beer that they were going to be giving out to everybody at the festival, you know, at the point of time when it was just time for all the debauchery to take place. And so, and the Lord just opened the door for us just to preach the gospel. And I mean, and there was just silence over the 1,000 people that were out there. I mean, it was just, you know, God had used that drama and Gary and I to just captivate the hearts. I mean, they got the word of God that day. Amen. In a time for that took Brother Tebby 10 years, his persistence paid off that day, he said. And again, God was glorified. Amen. God was glorified. But I'll tell you what, when I was crossing, if you saw the field, there was a big, long soccer field. And it was wide open, man. And as I was crossing that soccer field, I was hoping no arrows or spears or gunshots were going to come flying across there. And, you know, Gary Tebbe's a pretty tall guy, man. So when I'm walking, I'm kind of walking, you know, side by side to him saying, man, you're brother, you're going to take it all, man. But again, God, the Lord was certainly glorified in what had happened and took in place there. So at this time, I'm going to ask some of our youth to come down. Alex, you guys all know who you are. Come on. They're going to share with you a little bit about what God did and share a few of the pictures that you saw. Again, and one other thing, I want to brag on Kara again. I know I did at Calvary the other day. But that girl, let me tell you, she is a beast when it comes to working, all right? That the irrigation ditch that we had to that we dug for the women's home where we visited on the last couple days while we were in Wanaco, they were having some problems with flooding in their fields, and they use these fields to feed the ladies and the children that are there at the women's home. And so agriculture and irrigation is very, very important. Well, it was ruining their crops, so they asked us to come and help dig a couple irrigation ditches. Well, it was about a quarter of a mile from the facility itself, and where all the dirt and everything that we had to use to mix all the concrete, well, it was back over at the women's home. And so we had to truck this stuff by wheelbarrow all the way up this road, which was close to probably a half a mile, actually, quarter mile to a half a mile, somewhere around there. But, I mean, and Kara and all the girls, though, I mean, all the girls, I mean, they worked, and I didn't hear not one complaint. And we were singing songs about rejoicing in the Lord, and I mean, the ground was hard as concrete. I mean, I thought working in Mexico, Pastor Phil, was bad, brother. Man, we had a time mixing mezcla up there in that elevation. But again, I mean, these kids, they blessed me because I saw just a heart of servants. Servants wanting to give back what God has so freely given them. Amen. And I saw that in their hearts this past couple weeks ago. And so again, God be the glory, because again, he was glorified in everything that we did. Amen. It wasn't about us, and it wasn't about us being seen up there, but it was about him being revealed to the hearts of the lost there. Amen. Amen. Alex?
Pass it down. All right. I got to say one thing about coming back to America. Praise the Lord for hot showers. But it was such a blessing to go there, and such a blessing to see just the grateful spirits of the people there, because so many times, you know, it's about the heart. You know, the Holy Spirit, that praise the Lord, he doesn't dwell on circumstances, but he dwells on the heart. And that was something I was thinking when I was there. I was reading about the church in Revelation, and God said, you think you're rich. You think you have everything you want. But in reality, you're poor and you're miserable and you're naked. And when you see that, when I saw the church in Peru, it was like there was in Huanaco, especially in Huanaco, a lot of them didn't even have transportation. There was really no hot water, if they even had running water, you know. And it made me think that, man, we have everything we need in America, but yet a lot of times we lack the one thing that we really need, and that's to realize our spiritual condition. And I think when we were in Peru and we were tested and we were tried through just little things like that, I think it really brings out the heart of who you are, and it really brings out who you are in Christ, because that's who you have to depend upon. And if you don't have your identity in Christ, then it'll bring out who you really are. So I just want to just praise the Lord for what he did in my heart there, and what he's doing here in the hearts of us, even as we're coming back. So thank you.
I just wanted to say that I was so excited to go to Peru, because my brother Benjamin went two times before, when he was 12 and when he was 14. And I had always wanted to go. And so I was like, yes, finally I'll get to go to Peru. So at first I didn't really know if I was supposed to, because I was like, I have a job. I can't get off 2 weeks. That's a long, long time to get off of a job. But then I was like, well, God told me, like, well, I didn't tell you not to go, so why are you not going to go? And I was like, okay. So I guess that means yes. And so I got funds together, and I was able to go to get off work for that long. And probably one of my favorite parts was what Jason was talking about in front of all those people, how they were watching us. We walked in, and we first did the drama, and then they spoke. And I'm not really a great actress. I was like, I don't really know if I can do this everything drama thing. And so we practiced a lot, and I was like, okay, it's going to have to be you, God, because I don't know how to act. I'm not a very good actress, so, or speaker, by the way. And so So we did the drama, and all eyes were, like, on us, right in the center. I was right in the center of everything, and I was like, okay, this is a little scary, but God did the work, and he got the glory. And so it really was amazing. That was one of my favorite parts, probably, just ministering to them through that. And they were so receptive, all eyes. They were all watching. They were thinking about it. You could see that their hearts were changing. So, and also, I loved passing tracts out to them. We probably passed out, like, couple hundred or a few hundred tracts out that day. We passed them to many, many people, anyone who had, like, who wanted to. They were coming up to us and wanting them after they saw their friends had tracts. So, and I want to go back now.
I just want to start off by saying that it really was an amazing trip, like they've all said. And I really don't know how to pick my favorite part of the trip. You know, everything that we did was just amazing, and God truly was there and all of it. But I guess one of the highlights of the trip was when we were in Lima, when we were with Christy and Valerie. We were working at the church, I think we did it three times that week. We did a kids ministry. And so the last day we had over 60 kids show up. And we were just, you know, we were getting to minister to them, and we were doing worship songs with them. And it was just so amazing seeing the smiles on their face and seeing them at the praising the Lord and stuff and praying. And that was a good experience, though, getting to see all that. And God really does get the glory for everything that happened on that trip, and it was all, you know, his stuff. So, yeah. And also, I don't know, I really liked when we were in Tembilo, and we got to perform in front of everybody. That was just amazing. That was all God's work, because, you know, we could not have done that on our own, and God gets all the glory for all of that. So, thank you. And I want to go back to Peru as soon as I can.
Peru is truly amazing. I think the best part to me was going to the shelter for the abused women, because we all got to go there and just help them and just be a help. And I could tell they were just so thankful for us to be there. And I'm just like, thank God for letting us go and just being just his hands extended for him. And I just want to say that, like, in Tembio, it was just truly amazing. Just seeing the faces and the crowds after we did the drama, and just how many people just wanted those tracks that we were giving out, and how they were just all coming to us asking. And I just want to thank God for what he did in Peru, and I want to go back.
I just want to start off by saying I'm really grateful for the Lord allowing me to go on this trip. When I first heard about it, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I can, you know, get the funds and the money. But the more I prayed about it, I really felt like I should go. You know, that's what I should do. And so I think one of the things that stuck out to me the most is probably like Hannah said, when we went to the shelter for the abused girls, it just – being able to work, and even though, you know, shoveling dirt, probably, I guess, hauling it like a quarter of a mile, 100 pounds, you know, even though it was hard, it felt good to do something for something so amazing. Because, you know, here we take so many things for granted. And those girls there, it's just, they don't have, you know, they've been through a really rough life. They've had a really hard background. And so it was just amazing to be able to minister to them, to do the work there. And also, like they said, in doing the drama, that just really blessed me to do something in an area that, you know, Christians haven't been in since the 80s. Is that right? The 80s. And so it was just, it really touched my heart. And I thank the Lord for allowing me to go on this trip.
Well, first off, I would like to amen what my brother said about hot showers. So those are nice. I've always been a go-getter kind of person. If somebody tells me something, hey, walks over to me and says, hey, this is really neat, and tells me about it, I'm like, okay, how did you do it? Because as soon as I get home, I'm going to do it myself. And so I'm the same way with Christianity. Back in December, I started to tell God, I said, God, I don't want to hear about what I don't want to hear everybody else talk about what you do. I want to see you do it for myself. And so we started coming back to Calvary earlier this year, and I heard about this trip to Peru. And so I was like, well, you know, Lord, should I go to this trip? I don't have any money. I just bought a car. And anyway, I started praying. I asked the Lord. So I felt like I should go talk to my parents, talk to Pastor Jason. And I was going to go. And so the money was due on a Wednesday. And so I was like, you know, this is like a week, before, week and a half before. I'm like, okay, I still don't have any money. And some of you know I have my own business. And the week before the money was due, I sold. It was the busiest week that I had all year. Okay? And then that was the first time money was due. The second time it was due, it was the same thing. I didn't have any money because I had given it all to Calvary Commission, you know, for that deposit, and I still didn't have any money. And so it was coming up to the time that the money was due again. And so I told God, I said, God, this is the slowest time of the year. I'm not getting any sales, and I need a lot of money. And so the same thing happened again. I went to a place that I hadn't been to in a long time, and even though it's summer, it's still slow. And so I went there, and that weekend was busier than the week before. I sold what I needed, plus more. And so before we even went on the trip, God was already showing himself to me. And then all during the trip, it was just great. The Lord was showing himself to me, strengthened my relationship with him. These guys made a great trip. Pastor Joe, Pastor Jason, thank you guys. And thank you to this church and Calvary Commission for sending us there.
I just want to take a second just to just thank all of you, because you supported all of us on this trip, even if you didn't realize it, because Faith Promise gave to everybody up here, and who Emma, stand up. She was part of the team as well, and we and Patrick. Where is Patrick? Patrick should be up here too. Where is Patrick? Patrick, yeah. And we just want to say thank you, because for giving to the Lord in the way that you do, by giving of your finances to Faith Promise, because we all benefited from that, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for that. Also, I want to brag on these youth again, because like Jason said, they worked hard. And, you know, the word says that in your presence there is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord was with us every step of the way. And even in those times when we were working harder than we probably maybe ever have before, by hauling this dirt in these wheelbarrows and, you know, and digging trenches and mixing cement by hand, the joy of the Lord was always with them. Everywhere we went, no matter what we were doing, even in cold showers, the joy of the Lord was with them, because you would hear them going, hallelujah, praise the Lord, during a cold shower. I don't know if that was because they were just trying to talk themselves into it or not, but anyway, but the joy of the Lord truly was with them the whole trip. It was with our whole team. And I'm really proud of them, because they left there leaving an example, a good example of what the American youth are like, because what they see is, all they know is what they see on TV, which is not very good if you've watched much TV. And it's not good at all. And that's their impression of what American youth are like. But our youth left there leaving a different example of what American youth are like. And I just want to brag on them, and I just want to tell them thank you, because they really did never complain, ever, ever. The whole time, I never heard one complaint, even in the cold showers. I never heard any complaining, and I just want to say thank you, guys, because you did an awesome job of leaving a good example of Americans. So, and thank all of you, again, for giving unto the Lord the way you do. So, and thank the Lord for providing for all of us to go on this trip.
Although I shared last week, I just wanted to add one thing. It's about how I got money for the trip. The first time I heard about this missions trip was somewhere during the winter time or after Christmas. And this is horrible, but this was my first thought, and I was like, oh, man, I wish I could go. And I didn't even think that I would actually be going. It was, I don't know. But in, I think it was in February. January, yeah. I went to a youth rally, and I won an iPad 2. And it, what?
At Danny English Church. Danny's here with us.
I won an iPad 2, and I was like, oh my word, this is crazy. I couldn't believe it. Like, nothing like that had ever happened to me before. So I sold that iPad, and I got $450 for this iPad. And without it, unless God would have done something else, I had money for this trip. And I'm just so grateful for that. So thank you.
You guys give these kids a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Truly a blessing. Amen. Again, they didn't complain, but one thing that they did, they drove me crazy with, Pastor Jason, what's next? Hey, what are we doing now? Hey, what are we? Their inquisitive minds were on me the whole time. So, but it was an awesome trip. At this time, we're going to turn the service over to Patrick and Danny England. Again, that iPad that was won by Kara was won at Danny England's church at a youth rally that they were having. So, yeah, see, God uses everything, doesn't he? Amen. Oh, hang on a second. Ready to dismiss the kids? Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's dismiss our future missionaries, youth group, to the main service this morning. Children, would you stand this morning and extend your hand to these beautiful, beautiful children that the Lord has given us. Amen. Father, we just bless them, Father. God, we bless Pastor Jody and Miss Ann this morning as they minister, Lord, to these beautiful children, Father. We thank you, God, because they are truly a gift from you, O Lord God. Lord, may we as parents continue to train our children up, God. But we thank you again for our children's pastors, Lord, who assist us, God, in training our children in the ways of the Lord, God. May you bless them as they go to their service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Children, you may run to Children's Church.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we all really need to stop and see our youth. I know there's times we get so busy, but it's amazing. These are not mall kids. These are not kids that you're going to see. It's just amazing. And it's the Word of God. It's sitting under the Word of the Lord. It's sitting under homes and parents who really are genuine in their faith. They're not just, I go to church Sunday, we take the Sunday clothes off, and we head on down out the road. But in decisions and ways of their whole entire family life, their home life, it's for the Lord's glory. They're set apart. And it's just amazing at times. I'm just really impressed with the youth. I was having an opportunity to pick them up at the airport. And again, it wasn't dragging feet and you know, like, oh, it was just joy. It's so much. And it permeates all of us. It should. I should rejoice in what the Lord is doing. I know a lot of us at the camp at Calvary were praying. There was a lot of people that were praying. We brought it up in chapel services and classrooms. And we continued to pray. And we really believed that the power of prayer in the heavenlies above that place. If you could think of the generations over the Andes there, the principalities and powers that have been placed years and years and years, and the Tibbies, what great people that God has planted specifically right there to do that work. And again, this morning, and if you really stop and think about this little church today on different continents right now, in Peru, in Croatia, in Zambia, in Romania, in Belize, in Mexico, Cuba, you could go on. Just because people were faithful and obedient, I think of Ike Roberts and Leo Miller and Joe and Charlotte years back when Calvary was birthed, and we're just carrying on the torch that was burnt and foundations that were laid, and it continues on. It continues on. And one of Joe's last videos that we put out about Calvary, he says, and the vision continues. The vision grows. There's more. There's more, Lord. And again, just making ourselves available. You know, I'm just, we're going to share this morning, brother, we call him Brother Danny. Every time the phone rings and says Danny, he knows it's Calvary Commission because everybody else calls him by Dan. But Brother Danny England's going to come here in a moment. I'd just like to set up before Danny comes and announce that we have an opportunity. We feel it's the Lord really birthing this to go to mainland China and have an opportunity to serve and work for the church, the homeland church that's there. And Danny's going to share first. And again, it's really, I just know this. There's no greater honor than to be called and be planted and be put in a position where God wants you to go. And again, the one thing that's been just permeating these last few weeks in this, in the worship, in the word, is the presence of God. The presence of the Lord. It's just, I don't know if you noticed, the last weeks I've been preparing myself, but this worship, the last 3 weeks in here, and the permeating of the Spirit, it's the presence of God that realigns us, it challenges it, it's purifying us. It's really revealing truth in our lives and our hearts. And again, it's just an awesome thing to say, Lord, here I am. Today, from this step forward, I'm going to serve you, God. I'm going to give you everything I got, the presence of the Lord. Brother Danny, you'd like to come.
Greetings. You know, I thought this morning, 35 years later, Calvary Commission's still going on, Brother Joe. Amen. And it's a great honor to be here this morning. We appreciate Brother Joe allowing us to come. I walked by Ike. I said, Ike, do you recognize me, brother? He just kept walking. So good to see you, Brother Ike. We go way, way, way back. My wife and, my children are gone. My wife, just kind of wave your hand. She's in the back there. And I was thinking that I really wish, of course, Edward is in a greater place today. What a great, great servant of God. And several years ago, we began to talk about going to China. And actually, we were scheduled to go, and we were contacted by some people. This was a time of the Olympics was in China at that time. And they told us, we just don't feel this is a good time for you to come. So we went to South America instead, to the Amazon region. And we did several weeks of ministry there. But we feel now that the time has come. We feel it's the right time that we should go. I felt several months ago that someone from Calvary Commission should go with me. Really, at that time, I thought a little bit about Patrick, but I just said, Lord, just begin to show me and show us who should go. And so I want you to let you know that I began to look at this, and I thought, God, send someone from Calvary Commission that can go establish relationship with the pastors there, the underground church, those that have labored there, and begin to do something and to establish something for this ministry. I believe that is going to happen when we go here. And we're going to be over there 21 days, and I've already requested this. And I'm going to make a plea with you that you would really pray for us, fast for us. And I'm going to share a little bit more about what we're going to be doing there. We're going to show a DVD here in just a second. It's about 6 or 7 minutes. And we'll just show you a little bit of the heart of the Chinese people, what they believe, what they really represent in this area of China. And so if you can go ahead and cue that up, we'll watch that, and then I'll come back here in a few minutes.
The way of the cross surpasses all human understanding. The way of the cross is the way of humiliation and glory, the way of suffering and joy, the way of sacrifice and victory.
The first Bible I received was from a sister. Someone from Hong Kong had given it to her. During our meeting, we passed it around so that everyone could touch and feel it for a while. Everybody held it to their cheeks and kissed it. After being kissed by 30 people, the Bible was soaked with tears and the red color became faded.
During the Cultural Revolution, Chinese Christians risked their lives to preserve a few Bibles. But toward the end, a lot of hand-copied Bibles became available. And overseas believers began to smuggle Bibles to house churches across the country. It was Chinese have experienced a great deal of sin in this mortal existence, but never have they experienced the peace that comes from forgiveness.
How amazing God's grace is! He loves each and every one of us. I decided to devote my life to His service.
It's only through the love of God that I can live a better life. It gives me a purpose and a reason to live.
Just as the sun cannot stop shining and seeds in spring cannot stop sprouting, these people answered a call from deep in their souls. They were reborn through Jesus. They could not help but dedicate themselves to God and become missionaries of the gospel. With the end of the Cultural Revolution, secret house church activities gradually came out into the open. After the death of Mao Zedong, the Chinese people, cheated by a false god, began to search for the true God. For the first time in their lives, people from the lowest levels of society came face to face with God's unconditional love, with Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and with the knowledge that in God's temple they had value and dignity. How could they not rejoice, like everyone who has received the most precious gift in the world?
After I was released, I didn't appeal. The policeman said, "We're not going to redress your case because you will keep doing the same thing." Of course I will keep doing the same thing. I've been put on this earth to witness for the Lord. What else is important?
Having interviewed hundreds of missionaries, it's still hard to imagine how successful they've been. Without much education or experience, nevertheless, they found ways to spread the gospel. Every one of these unexceptional farmers leads tens of thousands of house churches and millions of Chinese Christians. In fact, there is an ever-growing number of house churches secretly scattered in the villages, small alleys, and streets of China. Today in China, there are countless devotees, hundreds of non-governmental seminaries, and thousands of Bible training centers. These faithful souls know they no longer belong to a corrupt and evil world. They live to shed blood and tears, even risk their lives, for the sole purpose of spreading the love of their Father in heaven.
This is the promise I have made to the Lord. Lord, I will carry your cross and follow you, for it is the duty of your disciples. The hardships I've had are not sufferings, but true blessings from you. I know this is a long journey full of pain and tears, but I'm determined to follow your path faithfully.
One of the brothers that we'll be working with over there is Don Parrott, and he's been working in various areas of China for over 12 years now, and we'll be going with him, and also his grandson will be flying out Wednesday morning out of Chicago, and about 17 and a half, 18-hour flight. After 8 hours, what's it matter, Joe? It's a long flight, but we're looking forward to it. I want to tell you something about China that is a fact I think that you really should know this morning, that there are some freedoms, but they are very limited. I know that in the United States, that even some pastors and politicians have said, oh, the doors are opening. They can have any kind of Bible that they want. I want to just tell you, do not believe it. There is no truth in that. Once you step into the mainland, you're in a communist country. There is severe persecution right now of pastors and churches throughout China. There's several thousand that are in prison right now for their faith. And so when you hear that, I just want to tell you that there's not a lot of truth to it. There's a lot of persecution there. They've counted the cost, as we all should have, and giving up our lives for him if it's necessary for the faith. Jesus gave everything. He gave his life. And the most we can do is give our lives to his service and to do our best to do his will while we're here on earth. And so there's things that you hear about China. A lot of them are they're untruths. And I'm going to just share a few thoughts. I'm not going to preach a message this morning, but I want to read an excerpt from Hudson Taylor, and I'm going through his two volumes. And he was one of the founders of the mainland missions in China. Way back. And so I want to read this and really listen to what his heart was saying at this time. And this is out of his first volume. And this is what it states. It says, here in Shanghai, there have been very hungry hearts. Mr. Taylor wrote in a circular letter to the members of the mission. And praise God, he has been fulfilling them to the promise. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry of the soul with goodness. With the result that there have been more conversions and connection with our work here in a few months than for several years previously, some 50 persons, sailors and residents, as well as native servants, have accepted Christ. From other places, too, we are hearing of quickening and ingathering, which we trust we may be as droppings before the showers we need. Now, his terminology is a little bit different. The supreme one of all missions in the present day is the manifestation presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. Hundreds of thousands of tracts and portions of scriptures have been put into circulation. Thousands of gospel addresses have been given. Tens of thousands of miles have been traversed in missionary journeys. But how small has been the issue of the way of very definite conversions? We as a mission have much need to humble ourselves before the living God. There has been a measure of blessing among us and souls have been saved. But where are the ones that chase 1,000? Or the two that put 10,000 to flight? Where are the once thirsty souls now filled, from whom flow rivers of living water? Few of us perhaps are satisfied with the results of our work. Some may think that we have more and more costly machinery that we can do it better. But oh, I feel that it is a divine power and not the machinery. If the tens or thousands we now reach daily are not being won to Christ, where would be the gain in machinery that would enable us to double these numbers? Should we not do well rather to suspend our present operations and give ourselves to humiliation and prayer for nothing less than to be filled with the Spirit of God and made channels through which He shall work with restless power? Souls are perishing now for the lack of this power. This is so true today. God is blessing now some who are seeking this blessing from Him in faith. All things are ready if we are ready. Let us ask Him to search and remove all that hinders His working by us in larger measure. And then the last part of this, if any of us have been tempted to murmur, to think or speak unkindly of fellow workers, if light conversation or jesting, which are not convenient, have been indulged in, if we had allowed less important things to take our time and attention, that God's direct work should have. If our Bibles or our secret prayer have been neglected, let us confess this evil before God and claim His promised forgiveness, carefully avoiding such occasions of weakness for the future. And having sought the removal of all hindrances and yielded ourselves up in fresh consecration, let us accept by faith the filling and definitely receive the Holy Ghost to occupy and govern this cleansed temple. Look, I realize more and more as I grow older than this in this age that it is the operation, it is the power, it is the Spirit of God that really, really changes the hearts of people, the hearts of a church. Where I'm at, we're seeking Him to really, really do something that is by His power and Spirit. I shared the other day, look, you can work up all the emotions that you want. You can say good things, but it must be by the power and the Spirit of God that really can change the atmosphere as we sung about this morning. And I want to just share a scripture here. If you do have your Bibles, and then I want to share just a few thoughts about China and the work to be done there. If you'll turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And in verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says who he is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. And this next little line is really what I have thought about this morning. For you have a little strength. For you have a little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. I want to speak personally this morning and be very frank with you. If I can just, I'll just come down to you here. And I've been on mission trips over the last 10 years to various places of the world. But I want to tell you that I feel so inadequate right now, Patrick. I feel that I have a little strength. And I know from experience that when you begin to prepare on mission trips, that things begin to happen in your life, and you have to work through some of those things. But I have felt just the last few days, and I've told the Lord, I said, I just feel so overwhelmed. And it's really begun to hit me now. Now, I've never been to China. I've been to other places. But I'm beginning to think now, and you have pictures in your mind. What is it going to be like? How will the people receive us? What is it going to be like at the border crossings that we have to go back and forth, back and forth? The communist police, the state police in the airports, all these different things. And, you know, I slept about an hour last night. And I just, my mind sometimes, if you don't stop it, sometimes you'll just keep going and going and going and going. But this is why we need prayer. We really need you to pray. We're asking people all over, as many as we can contact, to pray for Patrick, myself, a couple of others that are going. God will give us adequate strength. We'll be anointed for his work that he has for us there. And I'm going to be discreet. I'm not going to go in real detail about places. I just can't do that. We have to be very careful even when we come back about things that are posted on bulletin boards. But I will tell you that we will be involved in something new that is coming up over there in southern China. And we're excited about it. We'll be bringing some literature into some different parts of China. And we need your prayer for when we cross back and forth several different times. I told Patrick the other day that I feel that it is a real honor to take his word and give it to someone that has never seen. I mean, what an honor. You know, what a privilege for us to be able to do that. Massive amounts of Bibles are being printed right now. In China, you have the Three Self-Patriotic Church that is run by the communist government. It's really a front, so to speak. And that's not to say that there are no Christians at all that attend these places. But the real move where they're really evangelizing people is in the underground church. I was told a while back that we will probably go to a couple of different meetings at isolated areas, where we will have the opportunity to meet a couple of these pastors. And they don't ever let you know who is going to be at these meetings for security reasons. You go. Usually what happens is, if, say, Ike, say if you were to go with me and you're going to a church service there, they put you in the back of a car. They'll put a blanket over you. You drive way out in the country somewhere. They pull the blanket off of you. You don't know how you got there. And then you go into the service. But at these services in the jungles, in the houses, wherever they can meet at, you have these pastors that are sometimes barefooted. They look like farmers, but they lead millions. 5-6 million sometimes in house churches that they're responsible for and other pastors that are underneath them. And so we will have an opportunity to meet a couple of these pastors while we're over there. We will also be working with some of the underground schools there. They have over 1,200 students right now that are in training. They go for 2 years, no contact with any family members, no contact with any medical people. It's for security reasons. And they train. They're sent back into China, into North Korea, into other parts of Asia. We will do some teaching there at the schools, probably for several days as we fly into to different areas. We'll have the opportunity to also go into some unreached areas, and there's a part there where we go to that there's some tribal areas where they've never heard the gospel before, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to also go into some of these villages. It's a very tropical climate in one area, and then in July, the high is 76 degrees. Doesn't that sound good? It's up in the mountains, and then you come back down in the jungles again, and it's very hot and very humid. And we'll be taking some literature into these villages, just helping where we can, bringing probably some food, some things. And you're talking about some treks up the mountains. We're going to be trekking, sometimes hours into the jungles. That's the only way that you can get there, and doing some ministry in those areas. Don Parrott has actually been to our church. He spoke there about his work in China about 7 or 8 years ago. He has a ministry there. He really has a heart and a love for the people there. And he continues to do what he can to try to reach those before the Lord comes back. And he's doing what he can at his time, along with his precious wife there. Back to this scripture here that Jesus stated, I open a door that no man, and that terminology there, no man can shut it. And then I will come and I will shut the door that no one can open. It's really good to know that our Lord Jesus has this authority that is greater than any communist party, any people, any nation, that he has this type of authority that he can stop or let go anything that he wants to at any time. That's the kind of Lord that we save. A great God, a great Savior, a great King that can do anything and has the authority to do so. Yes, he had the right to say, go into all the nations, the people groups, the nations, and preach the gospel so that everyone would have the opportunity to hear and to be saved. You know this, but I'll tell you, there is no other way except through Jesus. It's for the Chinese. It's for the Cuban people. It's for the Russians. It's for people. It's for the nations. Go, go, go. And preach the gospel to them so that they can hear. They can be saved. They can be forgiven. They can repent and come to know him and his love and in his grace. We don't know what's going to happen there. I have a lot of I have these anxieties, I guess, inside of me, but I'm also excited about going because I feel that it is the right time and that God is going to use us to reach into the hearts and lives of people that we meet there. We have a little strength. We have a little strength. But God gives us the strength that we need to live and do His will while we're here. I want to say one last thing before I turn this over to Patrick. And I want to just speak specifically, and I don't know everyone here, but I want to speak to those that are in the school at Calvary Commission. You're going through the training right now. I know some have probably might have just got out of prison or you've been out for a little while. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Your victory is right around the corner. Just when you think, hey, it's all over, it's not over. God will take you to the next step. And I want to speak that to you. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. He's got a great plan for your life. And if you just keep holding on, He's going to take you to the next place that you need to be in Him. I feel that is a word for someone here this morning. I hope you receive that. And it's just a great honor to be here. And I mentioned Edward Mauricio a little bit earlier. I wanted him to go. He wanted to go. I remember Brother Joe telling me, even until up to the last couple of days, he was ready to get up out of that bed and go to China. He told me this just shortly before he passed. He was serious. This is not something that he just kind of flippantly just threw out there. But you know Edward. He was very serious about what he did. But this is what he told me. He said, I want to move with my family to China and never come back. Just drop me off in the jungle somewhere. I'll just live there and just preach. I'll live and die there in China. Brother Edward, we go in your honor. First of all, for Jesus, of course, for His kingdom. But we also go in honor of Him. For Rachel Mauricio, who we continue to pray for. She knows that we're going this coming week. And we'll go in His honor too. I think it's okay to do that. And for the Lord. So continue to pray for us. And we appreciate you having us here this morning. And thank God for Calvary Commission, 35 years of ministry and His work.
Thank you, Danny. I think that scripture, the scripture, Galatians 5, about do not grow weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap if you faint not. That has been... It's just been it's been coming again and again and again. And I believe it's a word for the church today. I think there's going to come a day in this country that our spiritual success or our ministry success, it's not going to stand in the face of the affliction that we're going to face. And the Lord's really been raking me over the coals, so to speak. It's been two or three weeks. It's been good. I've been hugging the Word of God like never before. I confessed to Tina. I remember being in prison. Man, that Word of God was everything to me. I didn't want to go anywhere. There was men that said, you could get extradited out of here and get on with your time and be out of prison. I said, no. I said, there's a man, Dr. Michael Iaketa, coming teaching Proverbs on Tuesday night. And Pastor Al Dawson is teaching on Friday night. And I don't want to go anywhere. The Word of God is just... It's opened my eyes to truth, and people just couldn't understand me why I didn't want to get out of prison. And I saw that clip of that video a few weeks back about the mission. I saw a video where they were actually weeping over the Bible, hugging it and kissing it. I thought, God, forgive me, Lord. I've got about seven of them on my floor in different places. And so He's churned me again about And Tina said, well, you don't have to go to China to fall in love with the Bible again, Patrick. And I said, you're right, sister. And she was. And I've been just, it's been good again. It's been good. Can I tell you, God has been good to me again. I mean, I've been near with him again. I've been setting myself apart. I love my wife today, Cindy. I love you. Would you stand? Would you stand? She has done so much for me. I mean this. In these last few weeks, she has been online. She does all those things about visas and passports and, I mean, filling out applications. And she has just been a godsend. And then finally yesterday, I've been having a beautiful time. I just want to say this in humility. I've been having a beautiful time in the fast. And yesterday, I came unraveled. I mean, I really did. It was a horrible, horrible afternoon. And God... And I recognized it, and yet I kind of wanted to stay in it a while. You know, there's sometimes you know you're in it, and you know what you need to do is repent and ask forgiveness of those you've... And I wanted to wallow in it a little bit longer, and finally it broke through. I went down to Sister Sanford's corner down there, and some of you know Miss Sanford on the corner, and she was upset at me. She had gotten wind that I was going to China, and she was waiting for me to come in for prayer. She was waiting for me, and she said, I'd see your truck go whizzing by, and she got upset. And I went in there yesterday, and I, you know, here I am in shreds. And boy, just in that little widow room of her living room, it just come again, and clarity of vision, clarity. It's about the King. It's got to be about him. And the men in the dorm that have been laboring with me last week, we got this huge job of cleaning up. And this man that owns all this metal scattered out across the fields of grow tall weeds and timbers, and these guys laboring. The man said he'd give me half the price of all that metal going to the, and that was a ministry right over there. When I took that metal in there, you talk about people scrapping for iron, and every time I went in that office, man, the Lord just showed me two or three. I had an opportunity to really speak truth and love of Christ and what this iron was going for, but they pulled out. Can you imagine getting $9 for 100 pounds of iron? $9 for 100 pounds. And these guys, machete chopping, chainsawing, just to get it out of the dirt. It's been in there for years. They gathered $1,200 worth of iron. Can you imagine that? I got half that. That was the hardest $600. But the whole time, iron for China. Just beautiful. So I just want to get back. Now let me get to just a short charge of a word, what the Lord has been showing me, because he says even though when the apostles were sent out and they came back and they were rejoicing, even the demons are subject to it. We have authority and they were rejoicing in ministry, and the Lord corrected them so quickly. He says, no, no, no. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, in the book of heaven. It's got to be there, because in times of persecution coming to here, successful outer appearance of ministry is not going to do it. It's not going to withstand. It's not going to sustain us through the day the world and this country is crashing. It's got to be because my Savior died for me. He gave me life. I was a wretched sinner. He saved by the grace of the blood of the cross, and I owe him it all. And then when that rifle barrel might be pointed at us, take me home. I'm ready. Praise God. And that day we'd have that grace. But he showed me in Exodus 33, if you would turn there, and just quickly, we'll just finish up on this word. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you, God, that so freely, Lord, we're able to study, to read, to meditate upon your word, God. I pray, Lord, that we would hug our word each day with you, God, nearly and clearly with you, God, and get alone with you, Lord, and reveal yourself again, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. In Exodus 33, and this is such a familiar passage about the presence of God, and how important for Moses, the servant who God said, I want to come face to face with you. I'm so intimate with you, Moses. I want to come face to face and speak instruction and speak clarity. I want to speak vision. I want to speak the way to go. And in verse 13, it's written, now therefore, I pray thee, this is Moses speaking, if I had found grace in thy sight, show me now the way. Show me now the way that I might know you. See, even the motive of Moses wasn't show me the way so I can be this big spiritual leader. I can take a charge and show everybody what a mighty man of God I am. But he says, Lord, show me the way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And I just want to close with that today. There's a place, there's a position in Christ, in the Lord, in ministry, in this life that we live. There's a place of rest. It's a place that he wants to cease, us to cease from our own striving, for us to cease from our own intellect, our reasoning. That's the greatest killer of faith. I know times when I, with my intellect, I'll try to figure this thing out. I'll try to, in my way, but I limit the fullness of God's power and grace and the miracle that he wants to do in our lives, because I'll reason that I can safely do it this way. But God, I pray the day that we'd see this and you take some more time. And there's a message in this. I was at the refuge the other night. We had a beautiful time. We had a Thanksgiving dinner of turkey and fellowship. We had dressing and gravy, and we had all that. But they set a beautiful table of fellowship and God's love there. And we spoke a little bit about Rebecca and how Rebecca found her destiny, not only when she offered the man a cup from her pitcher. She already went up from the well. She could have been on her way home. But the servant's heart of Rebecca, you know what she did? She said, not only will I give you a cup, but I will water your camels until they are full. And it was that extra mile, it was that extra step. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat. But she just didn't do it reluctant. But she said, not only give them a drink, I will fill them full. And there's a message under the well. If you stay and tarry at the well of God, that secret time alone with the Lord, what you do secretly with the Lord will be exposed publicly in ministry. It'll come. It's first ministering to him before we do anything else. And I know there's so much more. But when you minister at the well with the Lord and you arise from that place, and then you can respond, then you're right there with him in the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The obedience, it's not even a war to fight anymore. It's not the flesh fighting as much. Yes, Lord, I'm your bondservant. I'm sold out to you, God. How could I know? There's such joy in watering your camels, God. There's such joy. So again, this morning, me and Danny, we do cover your prayers these next few weeks, and it's for his glory. It's got to be. And what an honor. I just really know this. And I know that through maturity, it really should be through humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. And those things sustain us through every situation, every circumstance that comes our way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's equipped us. Our main priority is to be unnoticed. No more Christian jargon. Hey, brother, praise the Lord. None of that. Elevators and everything else is bug, but I believe he's going to give us wisdom. I believe he's going to show us the route. I believe he's going to say, no, not this way. This way, we want your presence to go with us, God. And then I believe spiritually, it's a win-win either way. No matter what takes place, it's for his kingdom and it's for his glory. What a joy. Danny, I'm just honored to go. I'm so grateful, Joe, that we're being sent out by this body. It's such a wonderful body of Christ. We need to, I don't do it enough. That's why I said earlier about stopping and really pondering what a beautiful body of Christ we got here and what God is doing in this place. It's unique. It's rare. Jason, this is a gold mine for God having his full way in our lives. Because I know when we leave out of these doors, it's just not on our way. It's everywhere we go. It's everywhere we go. Amen. I'd like to invite the praise team to come forward. We're going to do one last charge, one last song.